music this past year, and our bell choir. So music truly enriches our worship. So thank you so much. I invite you now to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to John, reading from the 7th chapter. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, Jesus cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now Jesus said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you so much for this opportunity this day to gather and worship on this day of Pentecost. We thank you for the gift of your holy word and for the opportunity for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask now, O Lord, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. We ask all this in your name, O Lord. Amen. Janice read for us the story of Pentecost, the story of the Holy Spirit coming with power on those disciples who had been in the upper room for at least the last 10 days waiting for that Spirit. Pentecost is our opportunity to not only remember that story, but to remember the importance of the gift of the Holy Spirit. We tend to downplay Pentecost. As I asked the children, there are no Pentecost parties. There's no Pentecost gifts. There's no real celebration of Pentecost other than what we do here in worship. Stephen Ason, a Presbyterian pastor, wrote this about celebration of Pentecost. Do you ever feel as if mainline Protestants and Catholics in America just do not get Pentecost? They come out of the woodwork for Christmas Eve, and they still do a fair job showing up for Easter. But Pentecost is almost something the preacher pushes on the congregation. They do not really seem to understand. He goes on to say, "I have tried asking the entire congregation to wear something red on the day of Pentecost. 12 people remember to do that, while everybody else either forgot it or did not want to do it. We have tried having liturgical dancers at Pentecost. That didn't go over very well. We have tried having 6 people read the Pentecost passage in Acts in 6 different languages all at the same time, the Presbyterian version of speaking in tongues. We have tried trumpets, banners, and anything else we could get away with, but it never seems to work. The congregation does not latch onto Pentecost. They do not anticipate it. There are no Pentecost dinners or parties. There is no Pentecost parade. We do not send Pentecost cards to each other. Even the stores have not picked up on Pentecost." He goes on to ask, "Have you ever wondered why this is? Why is Pentecost in most places the lost celebration within the church? Maybe people do not want to get too close to the Holy Spirit. Maybe we don't understand it, but we don't understand Christmas or Easter either. I can celebrate the birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit on all human flesh, including mine, may be too much. To truly celebrate the Holy Spirit may be too much. We dance around Pentecost. We do all other things to celebrate this day. We do celebrate it as the birthday of the church. For that day, as Peter preached, over 3,000 people followed Jesus. It is the beginning of our Christian journey and the Christian church. We tend to do things like recognize our 50-year members, which is a great celebration, or we have confirmation, or we receive new members. This year, we honored our graduates. There's a lot that we do on Pentecost that truly has nothing to do with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, nothing to do with really the heart of the matter, nothing to do with that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that might be because we are a little uncomfortable with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're a little uncomfortable with that much enthusiasm, with the divine spirit being let loose in our midst. We are afraid of the power of Pentecost. Pentecost, as I said, is the coming of the Holy Spirit in power among those beleaguered disciples who were waiting in the upper room. They were waiting there for that gift that had been promised by Jesus, that they would one day be clothed with power on high, and then that Spirit would be let loose in the world. They waited, and they worshiped, and they prayed. And I've often wondered what their prayer was as they sat in that upper room, just hanging out, waiting for that power of the Holy Spirit. After 4 or 5 days, did you start saying, God, when is this Spirit coming? God, we're ready. Bring it on. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We're opened. We're ready. Bring it on already. We're good to go. Finally, the Spirit does come. And I'm sure that Spirit surprised them. It came in as a mighty wind, and they saw on each other's heads divided flames of fire. The Holy Spirit came in a mighty way, and came because they waited. They waited for the promised power that Jesus himself had told them it would come. I believe Pentecost is about waiting, it's about worship, and it's about witnessing. Those disciples were told to wait. They were told to wait in Jerusalem. And the scriptures from last week for the ascension reminds us that they waited joyfully. They waited in worship, and they waited in prayer. They waited until the Spirit came. They waited. How many of us can say honestly that we wait on the Spirit before we act? How many of us invite the Holy Spirit into our decision-making, into our actions, before we act? How many of us invite, wait, and then discern what it is that God would have us to do? Too often it's the other way around. We ask God to bless our plans. We ask the Spirit to be with us in what we want to do. Instead of the other way around, inviting the Spirit, waiting for the Spirit, and then acting. Pentecost reminds us to wait for that Spirit before we move out in ministry or mission, before we make major decisions in our lives, before we decide upon our next steps, to wait and invite. Those disciples also worshiped. Scripture tells us that they waited joyfully and they worshiped in the temple every day before that Pentecost event, before that life-changing moment, and they worshiped in the temple after that. They never stopped worshiping. They never stopped praising God. Even though they had been given this wonderful, amazing gift, worship was still important. It was important to give praise to God, to thank God for what God had done, was doing, and would yet do. They never stopped worshiping. Worship was not something separate from their witness. Worship and witness went hand in hand. Of course, on Pentecost, they were empowered to witness. They were empowered to do things that they never would have imagined. They had courage and confidence. Peter, that reluctant disciple, preached a mighty sermon about what the Spirit of God had done. And as I said, many joined the way. They witnessed to what God had done. And they could only do that because they waited and prayed, because they had invited the Spirit in, and they had been open to receive that Spirit. They had waited, they were opened, and they allowed the Spirit to work in their lives. The Holy Spirit, an experience of the Holy Spirit, gives people courage and confidence. It gives them a thirst for that living water that Jesus promised them. It gives us an opportunity to invite the Spirit in and to embolden us, to empower us, to use the gifts that we've been given to build up the body of Christ. It empowers us to witness to the good news, but only if we invite that Spirit in. Those who are led by the Spirit of God know that nothing is impossible if the Spirit is with them. Those who are led by the Holy Spirit wait for God. Wait for God before they act. They praise God, and then they share the good news of what God is about. Jesus himself says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. And out of believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Are we truly open to that power? Are we really ready for that living water? Will we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us so that others might know Christ too? Can we handle all that enthusiasm, all that power, all that joy and excitement that the Holy Spirit brings? We don't invite the Holy Spirit in so that we can have a cozy spiritual feeling. We invite the Holy Spirit in so that we can work for Christ. We invite the Holy Spirit in so we can be who Christ imagines we can be. It means taking risks. It means dreaming big dreams. It means allowing the Spirit of God to walk with you. There's a story about a student who was taking a very difficult logic class. And that student had a final exam coming up. And he was a little concerned about this final exam. It was going to be a doozy. And so the professor, knowing the anxiety of those students, some of you students may have been there before, that anxiety of a final, said that they could bring in a resource. They could take a plain piece of lined white paper and on that paper write anything possible. They could fill up every single space, fill it with everything, and then use that resource as they completed their final exam. Well, this beleaguered student thought about what he would do. And the day of the exam, he sat down with a blank piece of paper and his best friend. Now, he put that piece of paper on the floor, and his best friend, who had aced the same class the year before, stood on that paper. He fit perfectly on that piece of paper. Now, the professor at first was going to say that that wasn't allowed, but the student, using his logic, explained that it fit perfectly, and you said that I could bring whatever would fit on this piece of paper as a resource, and this is my resource. So the professor, more amused than angry, let that happen. And as his student took his final exam, his best friend whispered in his ear, probably answers, but especially words of encouragement, a sense of confidence, a sense of assurance that he could do it. And yes, that student aced that exam and ended up with an A. There's another word for the Holy Spirit, and it's paraclete. Paraclete means one who we call to walk with us. One who we call to walk with us. Do we call the Holy Spirit to stand next to us, to whisper into our ears guidance, to whisper into our ears affirmation and confidence? Do we allow that Spirit to walk with us so that truly we can live as Christ would call us to live? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let us wait. Let us worship. Let us witness. Amen.